I'm going to talk today about a pretty important subject. It's one of those uncomfortable subjects for some people because it affects something that we do every day, and that is eat. And so when you start talking about things that affect someone's daily life, and we're talking about things that are lifestyle changes here, and affects a lot of aspects from what we eat every day to what restaurants we're able to go to, what we're not able to go to, what ingredients we're allowed to eat, not allowed to eat. And it's all out of a desire to do what Yahweh wants us to do, of course, not out of attempts to earn our salvation. We just love Yahweh and want to please Him. So, but we're going to talk today about the importance of eating that which is clean according to the words of Yahweh El Shaddai. If you don't think eating has anything to do with anything important, just ask Adam and Eve and they'll tell you it matters. Of course, they ate the forbidden fruit. Yahweh told them not to eat. But they decided to eat it anyway. And we're going to talk about forbidden meats today. And the question is whether we're going to follow their example or we're going to be careful and obey Yahweh in this manner. Now, it's been taught by mainstream Christianity for nearly 2,000 years now that Yahweh abolished or set aside various laws dealing with the eating of unclean meats. And for this reason, most Christians have no problem with consuming pork or rabbits or other rodents, lobsters, shrimp, various kinds of shellfish. But if you would do a different kind of a look here at the scriptures, and don't let the society and the things that you are raised doing affect you, and just do a thorough reading of all the New Testament verses regarding the Torah or the law, it will become very evident that the law of Yahweh has not been abolished, that Yahweh still wants us to keep His commandments. And the fact that Messiah came and kept those commandments is not evidence that we should disobey them. In fact, it's supporting the fact that we should do what He did. And so, that fact alone demonstrates that we should be observing these commandments regarding the avoidance of eating unclean animals. But nevertheless, this study is going to further demonstrate the understanding that Yahweh desires us to only eat clean animals which He created, and also that address various New Testament verses that some people will claim to be evidence that we are free to eat whatever we want to eat. Now, the word unclean in and of itself denotes defilement or dirtiness. And in the very same way, we would not want to serve a meal to our family or friends that we would regard as contaminated with filth. Yahweh also has a standard of clean and unclean. He does not want us to eat things that He calls dirty or defiled. Now, He is the authority in knowing what's good and what isn't, because He created the animals, and He also created our bodies all the way down to the cellular level. He knows quite well what is fit for us to eat, what our bodies He created them to eat, and what He did not want them to eat. And so, today we're finding there are books out there now that people are discovering that Yahweh knew what He was talking about when He told us to refrain from unclean animals. And there's various books out there that have been written to just by nominal secular people. One's called Natural Cures or something like that. Another one's called The Maker's Diet. And they're gaining in popularity. In fact, Charles Stanley, a a popular Christian preacher. I think it was he that wrote the introduction to the Maker's Diet and said he'd been looking for the right diet for years and he finally found it. And in that book, they proposed the idea that you should not eat pork or shellfish, because the maker of those meats said it's not good for you, said not to eat it. Now, if man had only chose to listen to Yahweh's word already written in the scriptures, and they wouldn't even need a guy to write a book and say, well, you shouldn't eat that. They could just look at the Creator's manual here, the scriptures, and it would save a lot of people from the harmful effects of eating those unclean animals long time ago. Now, those animals generally are the garbage cleaners of the earth. And generally speaking, they don't even have a digestive system really to filter out the contaminants from their muscles, their meats. And what are the contaminants they eat? Well, they eat carcasses and feces and anything that's disgusting, pretty much. They like to eat it. Shellfish, they sit at the bottom of the sea. They can't swim. They have shells. And they sit at the bottom of the sea most of the time and clean up the garbage and all the feces and whatever that falls down to the bottom. And hogs, pigs roam the earth eating carcasses or any disgusting thing they could find until man came along and says, I'd like to eat one of those, and decide to put them in pens and feed them slop. So I'd say it's time that we go back to the Maker's Diet and put away these abominations. And that's exactly what Yahweh calls them, abominations. So what is clean and what is unclean? In the scriptures, Yahweh declares certain animals to be unclean and therefore unfit for human consumption. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 3 through verse 8. Whatsoever parts the hoof and is cloven-footed and chews the cud among the beasts, that shall you eat. Nevertheless, these shall you not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof. The camel, because it chews the cud but does not divide the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the coney, because he chews the cud but divides not the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the hare, because he chews the cud but divides not the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the swine, though he divides the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he chews not the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall you not eat, and their carcass shall you not touch. They are unclean to you. Now notice that one of the animals Yahweh pointed out in particular was the swine. Swine is a hog, a pig. And in those days, swine was very popular and eaten just like they are today. Very meaty animal. And he made a special point that we are not to eat the swine. Now, most people don't have a problem avoiding things like buzzards and bats and lizards. But when it comes to the swine, that's a tough one for them. And they'll say, oh, well, you know, we've domesticated the swine now, and it's fed grains and things like that. It's clean food. Well, is it chewing the cud yet? No? All right. Well, it's still unclean according to the scriptures. And I'm not going to use human reasoning to do away with Yahweh's word. And Yahweh knows best. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 9, we continue there. It says, these shall you eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever has fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, in the rivers, them you shall eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas, and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination to you. They shall even be even an abomination to you. You shall not eat of their flesh, but you shall have their carcass in abomination. whatsoever hath no fins nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination to you. Now, according to the above verses, we should only be eating fish that have both fins and scales. And because of this, all shellfish, which have no fins and scales, of course, are considered unclean, and so are catfish, because they do not have scales. Today, shellfish and other unclean fish are very popular in various restaurants. You know, shrimp, lobster, oysters are commonly served, in spite of what the creator of those fish says about them. That's sort of like a man who decides to drive his car into the ocean because he wants it to be a boat. Wasn't created to be a boat, has no propeller, would only sink the bottom of the ocean. And if the man had listened to the designer and builder of the vehicle, he would have known that that vehicle was not going to float. In the same way a road vehicle was not created to float and drive across the sea, shellfish and various unclean animals were not created to be eaten by man. Now, if man will listen to the creator of those animals and fish, he will learn that Yahweh did not create pigs and shellfish to be food any more than a car was created to be a boat. And so we need to get the idea that these kinds of animals and fish are even food to begin with out of our minds. Now, Yahweh marked them at creation for a good reason. We need to cleave to His will and be willing to do what He says in spite of what others around us might do. Now, most of the time, those who are around us, they don't really care, and so they put pigs in everything. Anything from bar soap to toothpaste. And so, we have to be careful. We want to do what Yahweh says. And be sure we're cleaving to His will instead of what others may choose to do. Now, there's a list of birds and insects that Yahweh also, He declared them to be unclean. Did not want us to eat them. He was very plain, very clear. I'm going to read you from the New King James here. And it says, These you shall regard as an abomination among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, the kite, the falcon after its kind, every raven after its kind, the ostrich, the short-eared owl, the seagull, the hawk after its kind, the little owl, the fisher owl, and the screech owl, the white owl, the jackdaw, and the carrion vulture, the stork, the heron after its kind, the hoopoe, and the bat. All flying insects that creep on all fours shall be an abomination to you. Yet these you may eat of every flying insect that creeps on all fours, those which have jointed legs above their feet with which to leap on the earth. These you may eat, the locust after its kind, the destroying locust after its kind, the cricket after its kind, and the grasshopper after its kind. But all other flying insects which have 4 feet shall be an abomination to you. An abomination, something you detest, something you absolutely loathe and hate, would never want to eat such a thing. That's what they are to be to us. So, eating locusts and wild honey, John the Baptist, he ate locusts and wild honey. Now, wild honey is not bees. He wasn't eating any bees when he ate the wild honey. He was eating a product of what the bees' food is what he was eating. And the food was manufactured by the bees and used the pollen and the sweet stuff from all the flowers and so on. Now, Scripture says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. He says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from Yahweh, and you are not your own?" Now, if the body that we have, brethren, is not ours, It's given to us by Yahweh. We don't have any business telling Yahweh what we're going to do with it. We need to do what he says. It says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We should not defile his temple by eating things that are abominable. We need to present our bodies as a holy and acceptable offering, living offering to Yahweh. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Yahweh, which is your reasonable service. Holiness is the reason Yahweh gave for us to avoid eating unclean animals. That was the full reason. When Yahweh commands regarding clean and unclean, he'll often say he wants us to be holy as he is holy. Like Leviticus 11:44, he says, I am Yahweh your Elohim. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves and be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourself with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Leviticus 11:44. Now, knowing this, let's consider some of the other scriptures that speak of the importance of not eating unclean animals. One of them is in Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66, in context, we'll start at verse 15. It says, Behold, Yahweh will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. That's verse 15. For by fire and by his sword Yahweh will judge all flesh, and the slain of Yahweh shall be many. Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse, shall be consumed together, says Yahweh. We don't want to be among those eating swine's flesh at this time, do we? For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall be that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them, and those among them who escape I will send to the nations, to Tarshish and Pul and Lud and who draw the bow, and Tubal and Javan, to the coastlands afar off, who have not heard my fame nor seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. They shall bring all your brethren for an offering to Yahweh out of all nations, on horses and chariots and litters, mules and camels, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says Yahweh, as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel to the house of Yahweh. I will also take some of them for priests and for Levites, says Yahweh, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says Yahweh, and they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me, for their worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. Does that sound like something that's going to happen in the future? Has yet to occur? A prophecy of a former event or a later event? Yahshua actually quoted, their worm does not die, fire is not quenched. What is he destroying with the fire? It says, by fire and by sword, Yahweh judges all flesh. The slain of Yahweh shall be many. And those eating swine's flesh are among the ones he's going to destroy. Now, I didn't say that to condemn anyone. I'm just telling you, this is what the scriptures say. And we need to listen to that. And so, judging by the context, we see that prophecy there of Yahweh destroying the swine eaters. And so why would so many believe now it's okay to eat unclean animals? Well, the main reason they don't know or don't listen, they don't know the verse, they don't know about these things in the scriptures, or they're taught by the preachers of today to not even bother trying to understand that Old Testament and kind of avoid reading it. Now, why are they told to do that? Because they might come across verses like this, which clearly contradict the doctrines that are being taught. And so, I have a heart for those who are being misled. I think Yahweh does too. Now, those who mislead people are usually using certain New Testament verses, and they take them out of context and cause confusion. We're going to go over these verses in the so-called New Testament. I say so-called because I don't believe Yahweh ever called any part of his word the New Testament and the Old Testament. That's all something that man chose to create for himself. It's all Yahweh's word. Yahweh says it. That's all we need to know. Now, many believe Yahshua declared all foods clean in Mark chapter 7, verse 19. Now, whenever somebody says something like this, that's contrary to other scriptures, we need to investigate. We can't just take something and look at one verse and say, well, because that looks like it makes sense, if it contradicts the other, I'm going to go with the new and not the old. You know, out with the old, in with the new kind of thing. Well, Yahshua said that every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of Yahweh is going to be like a householder that brings out of his treasuries things both old and new. Whether it's new or old, Yahweh says it, that's all we need to know. Doesn't matter how old it was. His word is living, it doesn't die. It's powerful, it brings change, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, isn't it? So let's start with the beginning of Mark, chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Again, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now, when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. Now, notice here, it's a tradition of the elders. It's not a commandment of Yahweh. And although it's not wrong to wash your hands before you eat, it's not a commandment from Yahweh either. But nevertheless, the Pharisees and scribes said that their hands were defiled if they didn't wash them. Now, Yahshua responds by saying their priorities are out of whack because, you know, they're choosing to obey their own commandments over Yahweh's commandments. And so he tells them in the next three verses here, or several verses. Verse 4, it says, when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and there are many other things that they have received like, and hold, like the washing of cups and pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with unwashed hands? He answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Now he's not criticizing them for obeying Yahweh's word. He's criticizing them for making their own commandments and ignoring the ones Yahweh did command. For laying aside the commandment of Elohim, you hold the tradition of men. The washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do. He said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of Elohim that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, that is a gift to Elohim, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of Elohim of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down. And many such things you do. When he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters the man from the outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. When he entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. Now notice, it says, parable, not to be taken literally. It's a parable. So he said to them, Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods? Now, in this verse 19, some translations, like New International Version and some other modern ones, they will end this verse with the following statement. They will end this verse with this statement that says, In saying this, Yahushua declared all foods clean. And it's in parentheses. And it's actually in parentheses in the Greek. But this statement is not in the majority of Greek manuscripts, and it is not found in the King James Version or Young's Literal Translation. Now, somebody might say, well, somebody took that added verse, they took it out of the scriptures. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. What motivation, knowing that the pork eaters all throughout the world, the Gentiles, basically had their hands in the New Testament for a couple thousand years, why would a pork eater want to take that one out of there? Now, I can see why they might want to add it in there, but why would they want to take it out? It helps to support their own view. At least they think it does. The reality is it doesn't, because when Yahushua declared all foods clean, supposedly, you would have to eliminate and get this thought out of your mind with your Western Gentile mindset that pork is even food to begin with. When he's talking to them, he's saying foods. He's not talking about bats and lizards and pork. And so even if he did say all foods are clean, that would be true. All food is clean. If it's food. And you eating with unwashed hands is not going to change it. And so all foods are clean because shellfish and pork are not food to begin with. Now, Yahushua was not being criticized for eating pork. They weren't sitting down at the table having a pork chop. He was being criticized for eating without washing his hands according to the tradition of the elders. They believed his hands were defiled. And so I suppose everything he ate they thought was defiled as well. But failing to wash your hands does not defile the food you're eating or your hands. And so Yahushua declared to them that the food was not defiled by eating with unwashed hands. He gave this parable, which is, nothing from without a man can defile him, only the things that come out of a man defile him. They later asked him concerning that parable in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 23. And he said, What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. From within, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. So he's making a point here. If you're concerned about being defiled, and you're talking about things that aren't even wrong. It's not wrong to wash your hands before you eat. You know, they had to go to the third joint and all these different rituals and things, which are not in the scriptures. And yet they ignored these other areas, like honoring parents, a very major commandment, one of the ten. And some would say, well, no, I think he was still talking about pork there when he said, nothing from when he said nothing can defile you, then he had to be talking about pork. Well, we can see a parallel to this actual whole situation here in Mark chapter 7. You can read about it again in Matthew 15. And Matthew records an additional statement that was made by Yeshua. And it is this, in Matthew 15, 19 through 20, he says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." Okay, so he is clarifying what he's talking about here. He's talking about whether or not eating with unwashed hands will defile a person. He says, no, it does not. Whatever dirt you got on your hands goes through your stomach is eliminated. So it's the evil that comes out of a heart that can potentially defile someone. Now, he spoke nothing at all in these verses about, you know, eating pork chops and shellfish. And he would never have approved of anyone breaking one of Yahweh's commandments. Now, leave the Western Gentile mind here for a minute and think about this. Yahweh clearly commanded the Jews, the Israelites, all who are around them, because one law is supposed to be for both the Jew and the native-born and the stranger. He commanded to refrain from eating unclean meats. And so, why on earth would Yahshua sharply rebuke the people of his day for keeping the very things Yahweh commanded them to do? He told them not to eat those things. Is he going to come along later and rebuke them for keeping those commandments? No. The context here is speaking of eating with unwashed hands. And that is the thing he's talking about. Yahshua is not changing Yahweh's already perfect law. He didn't have to come in and change things. Yahweh did not make a mistake. Now, the other scriptures that are commonly used, we're going to go over one of them here in Acts chapter 10. The vision, Peter's vision. That's probably one of the most commonly quoted reasons as to why people think it's okay to eat unclean animals today. And so, we're going to look at that once again. I like to look at context and not just pull one verse out of the scriptures. We're going to look at the context again. And context is this. We're going to read through Acts chapter 10, and I will again read from the New King James Version, as I will be throughout the study today. And so, Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared Elohim with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to Elohim always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of Elohim coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Master?" He said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before Elohim. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Kepha," or Peter. "He is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." So when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to him, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound to four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, Rise, Kepha, kill and eat. But Kepha said, Not so, master, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Now that's an interesting comment, he says. Kepha, Peter, declared that he had never eaten anything, never eaten anything common or unclean. Now this is quite possibly maybe 10 years after Yahshua's resurrection and ascension. If Yahshua had declared all foods clean and back there in Mark 7:19, or if he had ever told the disciples, you're free to eat all the pork you want now, why would Kepha refuse a request to eat those unclean things? Continuing on, Kepha said, Not so, master, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again a second time. What Elohim has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times. And the object was taken up into heaven again. Now many would like to stop right there and say, Well, that sells it right there. No doubt about it. We can eat all the pork we want. That proves it. But according to verse 17, Kepha, Peter, didn't even know what it meant himself. And so how can we immediately draw a conclusion when Kepha did not even know what it meant? He wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen had meant. He wondered. He didn't know. Now Kepha knew that it was always considered to be an abomination to Yahweh for a man to eat the flesh of unclean animals, and that we should not make ourselves abominable by eating unclean animals. He knew that. He was a Jewish man. He was not a Gentile. He was a Jewish man. He knew the scriptures. He knew the scriptures had taught that we're not to eat these things. And so he wondered what it meant. He said, what could this be talking about? And in fact, if we eat those things, according to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 25, he says, Therefore put the difference between clean beasts and unclean, between unclean fowls and clean, and you shall not make your souls abominable by beast, by fowl, by any manner of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. So we actually would be making ourselves abominable, according to the scriptures. We don't want to be abominable to Yahweh, do we? We make ourselves abominable by eating these things. He knew this. And he knew that for Yahweh to change his mind and say what was once considered to be an abomination is now perfectly holy and acceptable, that couldn't be what Yahweh meant. We can be sure that he also knew that the day of Yahweh was going to come, when Yahweh is going to come and destroy those who ate swine's flesh. And so he's wondering within himself, what does this vision mean? Well, let's continue to read. Acts 10:17-28. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen had meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, Kepha, was lodging there. And while Kepha thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Kepha went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius, and said, Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears Elohim and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Caiapha went away with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and had called together his relatives and close friends. And as Caiapha was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped. But Caiapha lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, now listen to this, he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But Elohim has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Any man common or unclean. So this vision had nothing to do with Yahweh trying to show Caiapha that it's now to eat unclean, okay to eat unclean foods. But rather Yahweh was trying to show Caiapha and the rest of his disciples that they needed to go to the Gentiles with the good news of Yahshua. Now Yahshua had commanded the disciples to go therefore and make disciples of all the nations in Matthew 28. But up until that point they had not done so. They spent most of their time in the temple area talking to their fellow countrymen. And so Yahweh sent a vision to Caiapha to show him that contrary to popular opinion, during that time it was not unlawful or against any commandment of Yahweh to keep company with or to go to one of another nation. Now the Jews of that time would not do so because they considered the people too defiled and unclean to even keep company with. But this was above and beyond anything Yahweh had ever commanded. And such enmity and hatred was never intended by Yahweh at all. It was not unlawful, according to the Torah, the law of Yahweh, to do this. But the traditions of men had created, once more, their own laws, their own commandments, setting aside the commandment of Yahweh. Now, you might wonder, well, why does it say, you know, how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one another nation if it's not against Yahweh's law? Well, in the Greek, the term there, unlawful, has nothing to do with a law of Yahweh. And the word is commonly translated law in the scriptures, nomos, is not found there. In fact, what is found there is another Greek word, athamitos. It's number 111, and it carries this following meaning according to the Greek lexicon of the Old Testament and other early Christian literature, third edition. It says this term refers primarily not to what is forbidden by ordinance, but to violation of tradition or common recognition of what is seemly or proper. That's a definition. Once again, Greek English lexicon of the New Testament and other early Christian literature in the third edition. So Yahweh's law never did tell the Jews to treat the people around them like outcasts and treat them with contempt. In fact, Yahweh's law said just the opposite. In Exodus chapter 22, verse 21, it says, "You shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt." He says, remember, you were strangers yourself at one time. And again, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34, "But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh, your Elohim." And so it's very clear, Yahweh never inspired or intended such practices. But the mainstream teachers of Judaism were so obsessed with cleanliness, they added hundreds of laws to the Torah, to the law of Yahweh, that Yahweh never intended and Yahweh never inspired. And this is just another one of them. Yahshua, he didn't like the fact that they were adding to the law. And this is another example of where they were doing just that. And so Kepha needed to be corrected in this area, and that was the purpose of the vision. Now, Acts chapter 10, verse 28, we're going to continue to read here. It says, "Then he said to them, 'You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation.'" That's that word, athemetos again. "But Elohim has shown me that I should not call any man, common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, 'For what reason have you sent for me?' So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of Elohim. Send therefore to Joppa, and call Simon here, whose surname is Kepha. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore we are all present before Elohim to hear all the things commanded you by Elohim.' So Kepha opened his mouth and said, In truth, I perceive that Elohim shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him.'" And so he received a revelation here that Yahweh accepted every nation that feared him and wanted to work righteousness. That wasn't something he understood before. And that vision had come to demonstrate that to him. Now we know Yahweh worked a miracle later on. He poured out his spirit to the Gentiles. We're going to get into that later. But thinking back now to the vision and looking at the context of the vision, do we have a better understanding of what it actually means? It doesn't mean go out and eat all the pork you want. It means to go out and reach the Gentiles with the good news of Yahshua the Messiah. And that is what Kepha himself, Peter himself, interpreted the vision to mean. And so if anyone tries to tell you of any other interpretation of that vision, they're not speaking according to the Scriptures. Why would Yahweh, in this vision, liken the Gentiles, and using an analogy here, to liken the Gentiles to unclean animals? Because they were regarded by Kepha to be unclean. But then he said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And how does that fit into the whole understanding that Kepha had? Now remember, this is Kepha's interpretation of Yahweh's vision. And he never did explain why he interpreted the vision that way. But I think the Scriptures are able to illustrate why he understood the vision that way. Now, in order for us to understand why he interpreted the vision that way, it may require a little deeper understanding of what Yahshua has actually done for us, if you're not already familiar with this. Now, I'm going to try to explain this vision for you and how I think, according to the Scriptures, Kepha himself understood this vision. And that is Mark. First of all, Mark chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Yahshua told Kepha, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Now, if you're a fisherman, and you're catching fish, you're out there, you're either using a net or you're doing something to catch fish. And any of you who are familiar with fishing, you know, you catch the fish, then you clean them, and then you eat them, right? And so we have a similar statement by Yahshua here in another place. He says, "I'm going to make you fishers of men." You take the fish in, they get cleansed, and then you eat them. Now, how does that fit? Well, when we become believers in Yahshua, we need to die to self, right? We need to die to self so that Yahshua can live in us. In fact, we participate in Yahshua's death when we're baptized. This says in Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, it says, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Messiah was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." So the body of sin is done away with. We were crucified with Messiah. And it says in Galatians 2, verse 20, "I have been crucified with Messiah," or impaled with Messiah. "It is no longer I who live, but Messiah lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of Elohim who loved me and gave himself for me." So when we receive Yahshua and we are baptized in his name, we are made dead spiritually, because it is no longer we who live, but it's Messiah who lives in us. We are cleansed, and he, Yahshua, lives in us. Now, since Yahshua lives in us, we are now called, in many scriptures, the body of the Messiah. The body of the Messiah. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 says, "Now you are the body of the Messiah, and members individually." And Romans 12, verses 4 through 5 says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Messiah and individually members of one another." Now, since we are the body of the Messiah, let's remember Yahshua's words in John chapter 6, verses 54 through 56. He said, Yahshua the Messiah said, Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." And they were offended at that saying. And they said, "Well, how can that man give us flesh to eat? His food, that doesn't make sense." But it's spiritually speaking here. And again, Mark 14, verses 22 through 24, "As they were eating, Yahshua took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" And so what did they do? They took it and they ate it. So they, spiritually speaking, partook of the body and blood of the Messiah. Right? Now, aren't we the body of Messiah? Weren't we cleansed by his blood? When the Father looks at us, he sees Yahshua the Messiah in us, and his blood cleansing us from all of our sins, his life, because his life is in the blood. And so when we partake of the body of the Messiah, we're actually partaking of one another as well. For we are his body, and we have been cleansed by his blood. We are the body of the Messiah, members individually. We are many members, but we are one body and individually members of one another. And so, when Caiaphas was told to kill and eat, it was a spiritual way of telling him to go to the Gentiles so that they could also be crucified or impaled with Messiah and be buried with him in baptism, so that they could also be a part of the body of the Messiah, of which we all partake. And that's exactly what happened. Caiaphas went to the Gentiles who were cleansed by Yahweh because of their faith and their belief in him, and they were baptized. So Yahshua was trying to reach Caiaphas with a vision, a way that he would receive it, a way that he would understand it. And when it came to the time, he understood it completely. Now those who were around him didn't quite understand. And it says, Acts 10, verses 45 through 48, "Those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify Elohim. Then Caiaphas answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we?" He says, look, they receive the Spirit. They receive the truth, even though they're Gentiles. So he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Master Yahshua. So the correct interpretation of these verses are revealed when we listen to what Caiaphas said and how he interpreted the vision, and we compare that to the other scriptures, and we read what happened, we see the vision, had nothing to do with Yahweh cleansing abominable animals. It had to do with Yahweh cleansing men who wanted to receive Yahshua into their life. All right. Another scripture that some will point out and say, well, Yahweh changed his mind. Yahweh changed his mind. Now we can eat all the abominable things we want to eat. And it says, another scripture here commonly used is in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to read the verse 3 here. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which Elohim created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Now, up to this point, we have not been able to find a single scripture which advocates the eating of unclean animals. Now, if you're already a pork eater, then it's pretty easy to look at this scripture through your own perspective and assume that Paul is calling those who believe in eating clean animals only as those who are following doctrines of demons and have their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, Caiaphas himself was following that. He said, "Not, I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And demons are not the ones who came up with this idea of only eating clean animals. It was Yahweh. Yahweh commanded that. It wasn't a doctrine of demons, it was a doctrine of Yahweh. And so, that cannot be. And the scripture says that some will be commanding to abstain from foods. Foods. What's food? Remember, what's food? Never does it say that shellfish and pork and bats and lizards and rats and skunks are food. Those are not foods. Commanding to abstain from foods which Elohim created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Now, those who believe and know the truth are those who understand that Elohim created certain animals, such as sheep and cattle, to be received with thanksgiving. It's the vegetarianism that's being spouted by the New Age movement and Seventh-day Adventists and other Eastern religions, that's false doctrine. Now, those who believe and know the truth are going to understand that pork and shellfish are not even considered to be food to begin with, and they'll never consider such a thing to be food. Now, with that in mind, let's continue to read here. In verse 4, "For every creature of Elohim is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of Elohim in prayer." Now, after reading those verses, some have mistakenly thought that as long as they pray before they eat an unclean animal, Yahweh cleanses it for them. But this is not what is meant. What if a person forgot to pray one time before they had their pork roast or their breakfast sausage? Well, then they would be guilty of committing an abomination. Now, if it really meant that every creature is good, everything created is good to eat, then we can have all the buzzards, bats, lizards, rats, and skunks we want for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, whatever. And it's all good. Well, I don't think so. So, what is meant by these words? Now, if we examine them closely, we're going to find the actual meaning of what's being said. Now, there are three tenets here of what's being said in this scripture. Number one, every creature of Elohim is good. Number two, nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, according to verse 3, by those who believe and know the truth, in verse 2. The creatures are sanctified, the third tenet here, the creatures are sanctified by the word of Elohim and prayer. Now, first of all, verse 5 talks about saying every creature of Elohim is good. Now, could there be a creature which is of Elohim and another creature which is not of Elohim? We do know that there are some men which we would consider to be men of Elohim and other men which are not men of Elohim. Correct? And didn't Yahweh create both men who are not of Elohim and men who are of Elohim? Now, what is a characteristic of a man who is a man of Elohim? In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of Elohim." Holy men of Elohim spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So, men who are of Elohim are holy men, while men who are not of Elohim are unholy. Can we not say the same thing of all of Yahweh's creatures? Though Yahweh created all men, some are of Elohim and some are not. The same is true of animals. Some creatures are of Elohim and are capable of being clean and sanctified and holy, and some animals are not of Elohim, and they are not able to be sanctified because they are not clean inherently. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9. Do not drink wine or intoxicating drink. He's talking to the sons of Aaron here. Do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may distinguish between the holy and the unholy, between the clean and the unclean. See, he's making comparison here. And that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which Yahweh had spoken to them by the hand of Moshe. Also, Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the clean and the unclean. They have hidden their eyes from my Sabbath so that I am profaned among them. Talking about holiness here. Part of being holy is keeping his Sabbath. Part of being holy is keeping clean. Part of being unholy is breaking his Sabbath. Part of being unholy is disregarding the things that are unclean and becoming defiled by them. Talking about sanctification, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14 says, "The unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be what? Unclean." See? Unclean, clean, holy, unholy. He says, "But now they are holy." So they're all related. They're intricately linked with one another. Leviticus 11, verse 44, "I am Yahweh your Elohim. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy." See, we are called to be holy people. Yahweh does not defile himself. He is a holy Elohim. And he says, "Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Again, Leviticus 11, verse 44. So holiness and cleanness are related to one another. They're intricately linked with one another. Becoming unholy is intricately linked with becoming defiled or unclean. And so the animals that are not holy cannot be of Elohim because Yahweh is holy. They are the scavengers, generally, the garbage cleaners of the earth, eating up all the filth The second tenet we see here is nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. The previous verse said that there were foods which Elohim created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. And so the context here would be, it's very obvious that those who are receiving these things with thanksgiving are those or who believe and know the truth. Now, those who believe and know the truth are going to know the truth. Yahweh's word is truth, John 17:17. And they're going to know which creatures of Yahweh are set apart as food and which creatures are not. They're not going to fall prey to the words and doctrines of demons, because the words of Elohim tells them the truth. His word is truth, and those who know his word will recognize truth from error. Now, what was the word in the Old Testament? In the New Testament, when the New Testament was being written, what the disciples referred to as the word? It had to be the Old Testament, the scriptures. And so no creature of Elohim is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Those who believe and know the truth will know which creatures are sanctified by the word of Elohim. And that's the third tenet, that they have to be sanctified by the word of Elohim. Now, what the word sanctified actually means is set apart. Now, where in the word of Elohim does Yahweh set apart and sanctify certain animals to be acceptable to eat? Of course, we know Leviticus chapter 11. And so, let's remember, when Paul wrote Timothy, there wasn't any New Testament in existence. The Holy Scriptures, the words of Elohim, were the words in the Old Testament. And Leviticus 11 speaks specifically about which animals are holy or sanctified and which animals are abominable. And so unclean animals are never, ever, anywhere in Scripture, sanctified. They're never created, they're never called holy, ever, in the Scriptures. Only the clean animals are considered to be sanctified and holy to Yahweh. And that's the only animals he would ever accept on an altar, would be the ones that are clean. And so our bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit, he only wants that which is clean to enter into our temple, or his temple. Yahweh set apart the animals which are clean and the animals which are unclean prior to the laws in Leviticus. This is not a new thing that he was teaching here in Leviticus chapter 11. Because Noah, who built the ark, was told, and most people don't know this, but he was told to take unclean animals by pairs, but the clean animals in groups of seven. And we'll read that in Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. It says, Yahweh said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive which are on the face of the earth. For after seven more days I will cause it to rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all that Yahweh commanded him. So long before Yahweh ever gave his commandments and the law, he made a difference between the clean and the unclean. Noah knew what Yahweh was talking about and did according to all that Yahweh had commanded him. Now, getting back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, we see that there are certain creatures which are of Elohim that are created to be received by thanksgiving, with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So when we pray to Yahweh in thanksgiving, the food is recognized as coming from Yahweh, not from any other Elohim. He's the creator. And that the food was already sanctified in the word and in our prayers. We set apart for us to eat. And so, we who know the truth are going to be holy as Yahweh is holy. We're not going to regard the words and the doctrines of demons. And so, we do not follow into this vegetarian doctrine. We know that Yahweh created certain animals to be received with thanksgiving, because every creature which is of Elohim is good, and nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving, because it's sanctified by the word, set apart in the word of Yahweh. Back in Leviticus 11 and Genesis chapter 7, it was already sanctified, clean from unclean. And in our prayers, it's offered up when we give thanks to Yahweh for what we've been given. Then it's sanctified for us personally to eat. So, like in former times, there's a complete misunderstanding of holiness today. Even in the first century, they did not understand holiness. They were going to one extreme, saying that you were unholy and you were defiled if you ate with unwashed hands. Whereas today, you can eat, you can do almost anything and they won't call you unholy or defiled. We need to find the balance in the scriptures. We need to cleave to the scriptures and let the scriptures themselves define for us what is holy, what is clean, what is unholy, and what is unclean. And avoid the things which are unclean. Never take the things that are unclean and put it into our bodies for consumption. Those who claim holiness while they're doing unholy acts like that and eating unclean animals are not pleasing to Yahweh. Yahweh doesn't like it. We need to let Him define for us what He wants us to eat and obey Him. That's what He wants us to do. Very serious. Isaiah 65 verses 3 through 5. He talks about a people that provoke him to anger continually to his face. He says, who sacrifice in the gardens, burn incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend night in the tombs, who eat swine's flesh, and the broth of abominable things is in their vessels. And then they say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, I am holier than you. What does he say about them? They misunderstand holiness, don't they? What does he say about them? He says, there is smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. He can't stand it. Isaiah 52, verse 11. It says, depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing, go out from the midst of her, be clean, you who bear the vessels of Yahweh. See, Yahweh is holy, and we are called to walk in His image. We are called to be people that are holy as He is holy. That's what He wants. He wants us to be a holy people. Or do we want to be a holy people for Him? Do we want to be among those He calls holy? Then let's do what He says. Now this Isaiah 52 verse 11, Paul actually quotes. He actually quotes it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. It says, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says Yahweh. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says Yahweh Almighty. For us to be His children, we need to be holy, because He is holy. And not eat things and put it into our bodies, things that are unclean. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, you never begin a chapter with therefore. It's connecting to the previous verse. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Perfecting what? Holiness in the fear of Elohim. So in order for us to really be perfecting holiness, we need to seek to cleanse ourselves from the defilement of the flesh and spirit. Flesh and spirit. It's not just a spiritual cleansing Yahweh is seeking from us. Yahweh desires a clean people, people who live clean, think clean, eat clean, so that we are a fit temple for Yahweh's Holy Spirit. It's no longer we who live, it's Yahshua who lives in us now. We need to be a holy people, be worthy of His presence within us, to fill His flesh with abominable things. That's not cleansing yourselves from filthiness of flesh or spirit. Antiochus Epiphanes, in the book of Maccabees, he went into Yahweh's temple area, if I remember correctly, and he smeared the walls with pig fat. He smeared the walls with pig fat, and it defiled the temple. If we are Yahweh's temple, if our bodies are the temple of His Holy Spirit, are we smearing the walls of His temple with things that are unclean, thereby defiling ourselves and becoming abominable in His sight? And I'm not trying to condemn anyone here. A lot of times, you know, Yahweh can work with us if we're ignorant. We just don't know any better. But I think it's time that we heed the words of Paul and cleanse ourselves from uncleanness of flesh and uncleanness of spirit. We need to set aside the traditions of men. This whole idea of just assuming because, well, everyone else does it, it must be okay. We need to flee from that kind of a mind. Because what I see in the scriptures is usually the majority were wrong. Let's look straight into the scriptures. Let's receive what the scriptures really teach about holiness, about sanctification. And let's try to walk it out. Let's seek to walk it out. We may make mistakes, but we're gonna be given mercy by Yahweh, because He knows we're trying to do what pleases Him. That's what He asked for. And He knows best. He knows best. So let's diligently follow His will for our lives. Now, if you have any questions about what is actually clean, what kind of animals are clean, what kind of animals are unclean, I've got a list. If you send an email to cleanfoods@aliyah.com, you can get a list of common animals that are considered clean, animals that are considered unclean, and also some of the ingredients you find in your foods and so on. It's just an autoresponder. You can send your email to that, and automatically respond back with the list. And just look at that list, and it's not the end all. It's just a basic list, and you'll find that this world does not follow Yahweh, and sad to say, but there's a lot of uncleanness out there, and we are called to be a holy people. We're going to be strange, we're going to be unusual, we're going to be peculiar. But in the end, we will have perfected holiness in the fear of Elohim. May Yahweh bless you, and may Yahweh have mercy on us all.